JJPI, Scientific Voices.
My name is Stig Uwe Høj Andersen, and I work at Aarhus University, where I try to improve our understanding of legumes in general. And I also collaborate with plant breeders trying to improve legume crops. So in everyday life, our research is about, we use a lot of sequencing techniques. So we are geneticists and genomicists. So we work on legume genetics and genomics. That means we do a lot of characterization of natural variation across different legumes. And we also have a lot of collaboration with the breeders. So where we supply a lot of the data analysis skills. And the breeders, in turn, use their expertise in managing large trials, providing us with high-quality phenotype data. So that is data on how the plants grow and how much they branch, how much they yield, and so on. And we then try to combine that with our genotype data using state-of-the-art methods. We've been working on legumes now for for a number of years, and we find legumes fascinating because of a key innovation they have compared to other plants. So whereas most plants, all plants fix carbon through photosynthesis, legumes also fix nitrogen together with the soil bacteria called rhizobia. And this has been a major point of interest for us, how this symbiotic nitrogen fixation works. And now this allows legumes to grow without supplements in the form of artificial fertilizers, supplying nitrogen. And growing more legumes then means that you can reduce the use of nitrogen fertilizer. And it's nice to see now, after many years in the legume field, that legumes are actually becoming of broader interest. And the reason for that is that they can play an important role in sustainable agriculture due to the reduced use of nitrogen fertilizer, and also because they provide a nice complement to cereals, because legume seeds have a different composition of amino acids than cereals do. And that means by combining cereals and legumes in the diet, we are able to make a transition to a more plant-based diet, so moving a little bit away from meat. And this has created a tremendous interest, a boost in interest in legume research over the last few years. So we are happy to be part of that. And there's also a strong interest in reducing the global nitrogen trade. So at the moment, a lot of protein is imported to Europe, because we do not grow very many legumes that yield high protein seeds in Europe. Instead, we import soy from other parts of the world. And now there's an opportunity to develop new or old legume crops that are well suited to the climate in Europe, so that they can be used to substitute for a lot of the soy imports. So one of our main aims is to make legumes more attractive as crops in European agriculture. And people will start to notice that when you go past fields, so instead of seeing only cereals or rapeseed, you might start to notice legumes that have a lot larger flowers and look quite distinct in the field. And there'll also be an opportunity for people to use different ingredients in their cooking once legumes become more available in the supermarket. So you can already see it now with the meat substitute products. So inside these, there's a lot of legume protein. So it can come from peas or fava beans. And this already now is giving people an opportunity to choose between meats and legume protein. And I think this opportunity will only become larger as people get used to eating legume protein and as more tasty crops are developed. In order to realize our goals of improving legume crops, a lot of different expertises are required. So at Aarhus University, we focus a lot on data analysis and sequencing, generating sequencing data and analyzing that. But we also need a lot of other types of expertise, and we collaborate extensively with international partners to acquire that expertise. So for instance, there are a lot of people in Europe that have worked with faba bean, which is an important legume crop in Europe, for a long time and have an extensive knowledge of the biology of this crop. And we work tightly together with these scientists from different countries in order to be able to combine a deep knowledge of the crop biology with new methods in data analysis and data generation. I coordinate the ProFaba project, which is part of the Aeronet SusCrop co-fund scheme under FACI JPI. And this has been a great opportunity to actually bring together a large number of scientists across both scientists and breeders across Europe with an interest in a specific legume crop, which is faba bean. And the way that the funding structure is set up for this type of project is really encouraging large consortia, because the national funders provide a separate budget for each of the participants. And this really allows you to gather all the people that are necessary for a good critical mass, and also for including all the relevant expertise. In ProFaba, we are looking to improve the agronomic traits for faba bean, so it becomes a more attractive crop for farmers to grow. And here we are looking at some critical traits in faba bean, which is yield, which is always an important trait no matter what crop you're working on. And we also look at brookid resistance. So this is resistance to beetles that have become a major issue in central Europe. And by doing this with a large number of partners, also a large number of partners that have that are able to grow faba bean in the field, we are able to determine how the faba bean genotype interacts with the environment. So that means we can now address in a systematic way how faba beans have adapted to different climates. So breeders in the north of Europe and south of Europe have been breeding faba beans that are specifically adapted to these climates. And by growing the same faba bean genotypes across all the climatic zones in Europe, we'll start to understand the specifics of these types of adaptations. And we'll also, using modeling and climate data, historical and projected, we'll then figure out which faba bean genotypes will be appropriate for specific regions in Europe.